from e-separation relations in directed ICID graphs with hidden variables. So as you can see, this is a joint work with Noam Finkelstein, who is not here, and with Ellie, Elia, and Rob. Okay, so before I go to the main topic of my presentation, which is inequality constraints, let me talk about equality constraints for a second. So, okay, so when we have a directed ICID graph, we know that it will imply, you know, what are the probability distributions that are compatible with it. So this condition that we see here is something that, Elia already showed us today. And we know that, you know, if we given DAC and a probability distribution, if we want them to be compatible, you know, this relation must be satisfied. But there are also different equality constraints. A lot of them graphical criterions for independence. And one thing that was mentioned multiple times today was deseparation, but I don't think it was defined formally. So let me go through the definition because it will be useful for our main result. Okay, so in causal structures, we have these, we have these three structures. So we have forks, colliders, and chains. And to introduce deseparation, I will first introduce a definition of a path being closed or open, or in other words, of blocking a path. Okay, so we say that forks and chains are open if we do not condition on Z. So you can see, okay, I'll just use my cursor because I think then people online can see it as well. So in this structure, you can see that Z is a common cause of X and Y. So if we do not condition on Z, then we say that this path will be open. But if we condition on Z, then we can make X and Y independent. So we close the path. And the same happens in a chain. Okay, but the opposite will happen with the collider. So in here, you can see that this path is blocked, like X and Y are independent. But if you condition on Z, then you can make create dependencies between X and Y. And then we say that the path is open under a conditioning set. If all contiguous triples of this sort, so you know, four colliders and chains along the path are open. Okay, so for now I just talked about individual variables, but this definition is general for, you know, sets of variables. So let A, B, and C be sets of variables in a DAC. Then we say that A and B are deseparated by C if all paths between A and B are closed after conditioning on C. And this is how I will denote deseparation with this symbol. Okay, so the graphical criterion that I mentioned is that every time we observe a deseparation relation in a DAG, it will imply a conditional independence relation between the variables. So here, by this symbol, I would denote conditional independence, okay? So if A and B are deseparated by C in a DAC, then A and B must be conditionally independent, given C, in the probability distribution that will be compatible with this DAC. Okay, so if all the variables that we have in a DAC are observed, we can use the deseparation criterion to check the compatibility. And then, you know, it will be enough. But what happens if we have unobserved variables? Like, for example, if C would be unobserved, then we would not be able to test the conditional independence constraint, right? So this is the question that I want to focus on today, and that is the topic of this workshop, is to how to study causal models with hidden variables. And an answer is that we can do it with inequality constraints. Okay, so thanks to the introductions that we have by Rob and Elia, some of the things that I have here in my introduction were already covered. So for example, Rob mentioned that a standard technique for looking at graphs with hidden variables is the quantifier elimination algorithm. So maybe I will not repeat what it is. I will just say that it is a great algorithm if we have, you know, not a lot of variables, but if you have, you know, six or more variables in your DAC, including the hidden ones, it can be very hard to use the quantifier elimination to, you know, eliminate the unobserved variables from your inequalities. And this is when we want to have some more techniques for deriving inequality constraints. And for the equality constraints case, we had this very nice graphical criterion, right? Every time you observe this separation, you have equality constraints in the form of conditional independence. So one could ask, can we do a similar thing for inequalities? And the answer is yes. Robin Evans showed that whenever you have an E-separation relation, and I didn't define E-separation yet, I'll do it a little bit later. For now, all you need to know is that it's a different graphical criterion. And whenever you have it in a DAG, it will apply a constraint on the observed data distribution. So this is something that was known. What was unknown is a principal approach to deriving these constraints on the observed data distribution. And this is a question that I will give you an answer to today, and that is, if you observe an E-separation relation, what is the corresponding constraint on your data distribution? Okay, so before I go to the main theorem, the main result, I want to give you some intuition about E-separation and about these inequality constraints. So let me go over a very simple example. Let's say that we have Amy, Bob, and Katie, and Amy wants to transfer some information to Katie, but she can only do it through Bob, like on this example here. Okay, so if Bob only ever sends the same one message to Katie, regardless of what he gets from Amy, Katie can't find anything out about Amy's nodes from Bob. So in this case, it's like this because Bob's nodes have zero entropy. So yeah, this is the definition of an entropy for a random variable X, and it's minimized, so it's zero for a point distribution. So this is what's happening here. If you treat Bob as a random variable, its cardinality would just be one. Now, as the entropy of Bob's nodes increases, the potential for Katie to learn about Amy's nodes also increases. So we can see that now Bob could actually convey more messages to Katie, so there is this potential, but there are no guarantees, because Bob can also just, you know, ignore whatever Amy is saying and say whatever he wants to Katie. And from here, you can already see that we'll be talking about inequality constraints and not equality constraints, because as the entropy increases, Bob can transfer more information, but it's not necessarily the case that he will do it. So we can formalize it as follows, that the information shared between Amy and Katie will be bounded as here. So this is just the mutual information. I will see that we have this bond with the entropy of Bob's nodes. So this gives us some intuition about passing information. In our example, Bob was a bottleneck variable. So all the information must go through Bob, and the amount of information that can go through a bottleneck cannot exceed its size. And in this case, we quantify the size with entropy. But this was a very simple example, right? It was just a chain and everything was going through Bob, but we can make it more general. So in general, bottlenecks, let's say between variables A and Z, will be all variables that are between A and Z along some path. So in this example here, there will be actually more than one bottleneck, but the first obvious one is X, right? So we have three paths here from A to Z, but all of them contain X. So the way we can see that X is a bottleneck, we can, for example, delete X from the graph, and then you can see that there's no way an information can go through from A to Z. But as I said, we have more bottlenecks here. So for example, Y will be bottleneck as well. And let's see what happens when we delete Y. We have this one more path that still remains, but notice that this path is closed. So we have this collider here. So if we do not condition on X, this will be a closed path. This is, you know, definition of bottlenecks can be nicely formalized using E-separation. So again, just to formalize, when I say that a node is deleted from a graph, I mean that I remove the node and all of its incoming and outgoing edges. And then if A and B and C and D are sets of variables in a DAG, A and B are said to be E-separated by C after deletion of D if A and B are D-separated by C after deletion of every variable in D. And I will denote it as here. So here D is our bottleneck, and you can see that you know, this closely relates to what I did in the previous example. So I identify the bottleneck variable, I delete it from a graph, and then I see whether the, you know, remaining variables that I'm interested in are deseparated. Okay, so, you know, this is just a recap that here we'll have that if we removed X, A will be e-separated. Sorry, if we remove X, then A will be deseparated from Y and Z. And here we don't need to condition on anything. The conditioning set, so the C from the previous definition, is just an empty set. So this is why we have this e-separation relation. And then in this other example, we see that, you know, if you delete Y, then you have deseparation between A and Z. So this is why we have this e-separation relation. Okay. So from everything that I just said, the most important thing is that if you have a DAG, it can be a very complicated DAG. What you can do is you can identify the bottlenecks between the variables that you're interested in, and then the amount of information that can get through a bottleneck cannot exceed its entropy, and we can formalize bottlenecks using e-separation. So if we take all of this together, we have a very nice result. So what you can see here is, you know, definitely more formal, and I don't want to go through the proof, but the intuition behind this result is like very much what I just presented. So it's about bottlenecks and how much information you can pass through them. Okay, so let's go through it. Suppose observed variables are discrete, and then if A is e-separated from B by C upon deletion of D, and no element of C is a descendant of any in D, then for any value C, so by small c I mean a particular value, in the domain of C, the following constraint holds. And we have that these constraints that I already hinted in the, you know, Amy Bob Cutty example, that on one hand you'll have this mutual information between variables, and on the other side you have this entropy of your bottleneck. And then you can also strengthen them. If, in addition, no element of A is a descendant of any in D, then for any value C in the domain of C, you have these stronger constraints. So these two. Okay, so as I said, I don't really want to go through the proof, but instead I would like to show you some examples and some applications of this result. So this is the first example. And in here we can identify two e-separation relations, as we already discussed, and both of them will imply inequality constraints. So here you can notice that I used the stronger version of the theorem. So I used this one because this condition of no elements of A is a descendant of any of the bottleneck is satisfied here. And here you can also see that our conditioning set is an empty set. Okay, so this is the one that we were previously talking about. Like, for example, here we have that if we remove X from the DAG, we will see that A and these three will be deseparated. And this example is quite nice because here we recover all Shannon type entropic inequality constraints implied by the graph. By Shannon type entropic inequality constraints, I mean, you know, exactly the same thing that Rolf introduced earlier today. Okay, but this is actually not always the case. For example, if you look here, and this is quite different because now we have this directed edge from X to Z, you will have these inequality constraints. So let's look at this one, for example. Notice that here we have the condition on X. Why? Because if we were to remove Y from this DAG, we still have this edge. So if we want to have independence, this one, so between A and Y and Z, we do need to condition on X to close this path. Okay. And in this case, the first inequality can be strengthened. So you can see that the only difference is that in the stronger one, we are conditioning on Y. So it is not always the case that we'll recover on Shannon type inequality constraints. Okay, there are also some related results that we have in our paper. This is one that I thought was interesting, so I'll just mention it here, that it is possible to relate our inequality constraints to equality constraints. So, for example, to the deseparation ones, but also to Verma constraints. And it's through this proposition here, which says that if A is deseparated from B by a set CD, then A is also E separated from B by C upon deletion of D. So every time we, yeah.
Just a really brief note about what Fermat constraints are. So it is not quite the case that anytime I see, if I have something identified and there is an independence in there, that's not necessarily the same as a Fermat constraint. So you could get a situation where there is an identified distribution, there is an independence in it, but there is no constraint. I could have some examples offline of that. So it's close, but not quite the same thing.
Thank you. Okay, so every time we have D separation, we also have, D separation, we also have E separation, but it doesn't work the other way around. So when we have E separation, it doesn't mean that we will have D separation. Okay, so let's talk about some applications. Some applications of this result. And the first one is causal discovery. So let's say you're given a probability distribution over the observed variables in the DAG, and your task is to decide which one, you know, is your probability distribution compatible with. And of course, the first thing that you do is you look at conditional independence constraints, but in here, they're actually the same. So as you can see, the only difference is this arrow here, okay? But still, the separation constraints will give you the same conditional independencies. But if you use E separation, then you will get these constraints here. And maybe let me go from the bottom. So you see that the bottom one is the same, but now we don't have this one. So because we have this arrow from Y1 to Y4, here, if you were to delete Y3, here you're closing the path between Y1 and Y4. But because you have this directed edge, you will not have a corresponding key separation result in that case. And also, this one is a little bit stronger than this one. So I didn't write them down here, but for each of these, you can write an inequality constraint. And then you could use these inequality constraints to test your probability distribution and see if it's compatible with the DAG. Okay, a different application is if you have latent variables, but you can add some additional assumptions to your model. So let's say that you observed this data distribution given in this table. So here you can see that X and Y have cardinality 4, and this is what you observe. And now you want to decide between these two causal structures. So again, your question is whether X has a direct causal influence on Y, or is the correlation that you observe only through this common cause? So in general, we could not really do it, but if you have this assumption that you know the cardinality of the common cause, so it is still unobserved, but you know how many values it can take, then you can say something more about this problem. And it's actually quite a valid assumption, because sometimes you will know what your common cause is. You cannot observe it, but you can still say what is its cardinality. So then we have this proposition in the paper that if this deseparation constraint holds, then this inequality holds. So this is this is the cardinality of your unobserved common cause, so of this U. And notice that here, everything is observed. So this is just something that you can calculate. And for this specific example, we will have that this is 3 point something. So the cardinality of your common cause, in order to explain this, this data, must be at least 4. So if you had this assumption, you falsify this, because here we will have this deseparation relation, and you know that there must be a direct causal influence of X on Y. You could also use the same result the other way around. So if you don't know what is the cardinality of your unobserved variable, and you want to bound it somehow, then this is the same probability distribution as in the previous example. If you know that this is your causal structure, you use the same result, and you can say that you must have cardinality of at least 4. Okay, and one last application that I want to mention is about quantifying causal influence. So the traditional approach to quantifying causal influence is the average causal effect. So it's defined as here, where this is X is treatment, Y is the outcome. And here you can see that it's defined for binary treatment. So it's either X or X prime. And this is the measure that people usually use. But there are some problems with it. Like, for example, you can see here that it's defined for binary treatment. And also, it's not always faithful in a sense that you can have situations where the treatment will always affect the outcome, but still you will observe that the average causal effect is equal to zero. So the idea that we introduced is a new measure of causal influence that maybe could be used alongside the average causal effect to give us some more information about strength of directed arrows. This measure is minimal mediary entropy. And let's say that you have a duck like this and you're interested in this arrow here. So arrow from x to y. Then the minimal mediary entropy is defined as follows. The first thing that you do is you add two new variables, w and uwi, where w mediates the whole causal effect from x to y. So you just enter up this edge here and you add w. And then you can also add this common cause between w and y, well, because it would not alter the model in any way. And then the minimal mediary entropy between this arrow, of this arrow, is the smallest entropy of w over all structural equation models, reproducing the observed data distribution over the modified duck. So this is the modified duck in which w has finite cardinality. Okay, so you could say that optimizing over all structural equation models is not a very easy thing to do. But we actually have one example in the paper when you can use our theorem to give a non-trivial band on this MME. So if you observe this is a separation relation where A and B are related to X and Y as follows, then from our theorem, you will get this band on MME. Hmm. Okay. So yeah, the main message of this talk was that E-separation relations imply entropic inequality constraints. And yeah, that's all. So, thank you. There are any questions?
Actually, I have a question. You showed some bounds on the cardinality of the latent variables. Are lower bounded actually by 2 to the elevated to some information. Mm-hmm. And I believe that you guys also investigated the Evans scenario, right? The unrelated co-founding scenario. Do you guys have those bounds for them as well? Or I believe it's a trivial, I don't know.
Okay, so is this the Evans scenario?
Yeah.
Okay, so what you mean is that can we use this for this scenario? I'm sorry, I don't know if they can see the recording online, right?
They can, but it's so dark they probably don't.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I mean, I know we can always have the data be finite, but perhaps if under some specific conditions on information, the bounds are non-trivial, right? I don't know.
Yeah, but also notice that here I'm assuming what is the observed data distribution. So because to have this bound, you need to compute this. So this is the case if, you know, you have these separation relations and here A, B, and C are observed variables and U is unobserved. So here we were able to compute this because we know, you know, here C is just an empty set, and we know A and B exactly. So this is why we can compute it. So.
No, okay, I see.
Yeah. So I guess my answer is if you have a deseparation relation and you have the observed data distribution, then you can compute this number. But having some restrictions on the probability distribution would not be enough. Does this answer the question?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take Vera.